Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 14, Text Number 45. Ivam samahitar mati.
Ivam samahitar mati.
Mam ivatmanam atmani.
Mam ivatmanam atmani.
Ichaste mai saravatman.
Ichaste mai saravatman.
Jyotir jyotishi samjutam.
Jyotir jyotishi samjutam.
Ivam.
Ivam.
Thus.
Thus.
Samahita.
Samahita,
completely fixed.
Completely fixed.
Mati,
mati,
consciousness.
Mam,
me.
Eva,
indeed.
Atmanam,
Atmanam, the individual soul. Atmani,
within the individual soul.
Vichaste,
cease.
Mahi,
in me.
Sarva
Atman,
in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Jyoti,
the sun rays.
Jyotishi,
within the sun.
Samyutam,
united.
Translation: one who has completely fixed his mind on me should see me within his own soul and should see the individual soul within me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, he sees the individual souls united with the Supreme Soul, just as one sees the sun rays completely united with the sun. Purport: in the spiritual world, everything is naturally effulgent, because that is the nature of spirit. Thus, when one sees the individual soul as part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, the experience can be compared to seeing the sun rays emanating from the sun. The Supreme Lord is within the living entity, and simultaneously the living entity is within the Lord. But in both cases, the Supreme Lord, and not the living entity, is the maintainer and controller. How happy everyone could be by taking to Krishna consciousness and finding the Supreme Lord Krishna within everything and everything within Krishna. Liberated life in Krishna consciousness is so pleasurable that the greatest misfortune is to be without such consciousness. Sri Krishna is kindly explaining in many different ways the supremacy of Krishna consciousness, and fortunate persons will understand the sincere message of the Lord. Ivam samahita matir mam ivatmanam atmani ichaste mai saravatman jyotir jyotishi samjutam. One who has completely fixed his mind on me should see me within his own soul and should see the individual soul within me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus he sees the individual souls united with the Supreme Soul, just as one sees the sun rays completely united with the sun. So here... Lord Sri Krishna, Bhagavan Sri Krishna is speaking with Uddhava, and he has been explaining the process of pure devotional service is the means by which one can attain the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One can understand and approach and attract the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he has been explaining that only through bhakti is that possible? That bhakti consists of 9 different processes: hearing, chanting, remembering, worshipping the lotus feet, worshipping the Lord in the temple, the Archavigraha, offering prayers, offering service, offering friendship, and surrendering everything. These are the 9 different processes of devotional service. Ultimately, all those different processes are absolute, in the sense that they all completely fix the mind upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead in pure love. So Krishna has been describing this process as the means by which one can attain the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now Uddhava asked for further information as to what particular form that one should fix the mind on the Supreme Lord, and what particular process of meditation, some more details on how that is actually enacted. And so Krishna has described the whole process in summary, beginning from the point of meditation where those who do not understand the Bhagavan feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they can gradually, through meditation, understand their own spiritual nature as Brahman, and gradually rise to the understanding of the Paramatma feature of the Lord. And then Lord Krishna has described how one should actually then go beyond the Paramatma feature of meditation. And having done so, one will come to this realization here. So, therefore, Krishna has described how the yogis, they meditate upon the Vishnumurti, or the form of the super soul within the heart, and that super soul has described forearm feature sitting within the heart of all living entities. Then Krishna has described that one should then meditate upon the sky, so which is an unusual statement, going from the meditation upon the form of the Lord as the super soul, and then he's saying then meditate upon the sky, and then meditate upon my form. So of course there is not a lot of explanation there describing that, but one thing that comes to my mind, of course, is that when you're drawing pictures, that with children, you may get them to draw a rainbow or something, and then you might ask them to develop their drawing skills and their conceptualization a little bit further. So you may ask them to draw something a little bit more. So then you give them a clean slate of paper. So in one sense, meditating upon the forearm form of Vishnu, and then you meditate upon the sky, is like getting a clean piece of paper, because you really have to leave behind that previous conception in order to go forward and to have no previous misconceptions or preconceived ideas, which then obstruct your ability to draw the next picture. And this, we see that there's a book actually by Betty Edwards, which is called Drawing on the Right Side of the Brain. Anyone ever read that book? She describes there that there are two sides of the brain. One is the right hemisphere and one is the left hemisphere. Now, the I think it's the right hemisphere brain works differently to the left hemisphere brain. The left hemisphere brain sees in terms of everything has a particular definition and a particular order and a particular sequence. And the left side of the brain works on, you know, all the details. So, for instance, you know, if I look at the drum, the left side of the brain will give me a definition. That is a drum, and it has the small end, it has the, you know, the larger end, and it has its cover, and it has a strap, and like this. So there's an idea, a conception of what that is. So the left side of the brain works like that. The right side of the brain works a little differently, in that it sees the whole picture and doesn't have such preconceived ideas of that. It actually may, the right side of the brain may look at the drum and see it in terms of its shape and form. Right? And colour, without, you know, preconceived ideas that it is a drum, and without taking into consideration so many of the details, it may just see as a form. So what happens when generally when people draw, their ability to draw stops at about the age of a 10-year-old. So if you ask a 35-year-old man to draw a picture of, you know, a man holding hands with his daughter, he'll draw the same sort of little stick figure type drawing as what he did when he was 10 years old. Now the reason, why is that? Even though there's, you know, another 25 years of experience, why can he not draw any better than what he did when he was 10 years old? And that is because the mind is throwing up preconceived ideas. The mind is drawing in the left side of the brain predominantly, and therefore the left side of the brain, it throws up preconceived ideas of what you're supposed to see. Right? Whereas the right side of the brain will actually throw up a picture of what it actually sees without any definitions, and therefore it has a better idea of the shape and the form and the shades like that. So the trick is to any artist will actually be able to swing from the left side of the brain to the right side of the brain when they want to create. That removes all the preconceived ideas and allows the brain to actually just see in terms of shape, angle, form, colour, like this. And a person who practices that, within 1 or 2 days, will go from not being able to draw to be able to exactly draw. See? Because they're seeing in different ways. So, for instance, someone may, you know, take the hand like that and go to draw that. If we see it as if we're trying to draw a hand, then we'll draw the 10-year-old picture, which is not very good. But if we look at it and just see the shapes and the forms and the spaces, then immediately you can draw that by not considering. And therefore, one way to switch into the right side of the brain is to take a picture of the hand and tip it upside down, or to take a picture of a person's face and tip it upside down and draw it like that. So when you actually, therefore, you're no longer seeing that face as a face, but you're just seeing in terms of shapes, angles and what have you, and it switches you into the right side of the brain. And then you'll be surprised that you'll actually draw the face upside down better than you will right side up. So the reason I'm describing that, I have to remember actually, Krishna is describing here the nature. He's speaking with Uddhava about the spirit soul, and just got to try and remember that point I was on just before I started talking about the drawing. Who can remember? Who's been listening? What's that?
The details.
The details. Yes, I was talking about it. That's right. Thank you. Very good. Just see how attentive. Yes. So, going from the conception of Paramatma, and then getting a clean page, and then being able to conceive of the Bhagavan feature. Like that. So, in order to conceive of the Bhagavan feature, we have to remove preconceived ideas. That was the point. Right? So, and therefore, I was explaining how the brain works. That when you know we have preconceived ideas, it inhibits our ability to conceive or to draw a new idea, because our brain is hanging on to paradigms. Paradigms, you may have heard the word, where our brain operates in such a way that any information comes in, we have a set of rules which all that information is filtered through, and therefore according to the rigid rules that we have, we may find it hard to accept information as it is, because we have rules and regulations as to what is fact and what is not. So again, to give an example, that when the person who invented the Xerox type photocopier, I think he went to America or somewhere and showed them that here is this machine I've made, and he put a rough thing on the desk, and you do this and do that, and it sort of reproduces. Now, they were thinking in terms of a camera and thought, well, we have a camera which does a lot better than that, and therefore what you're, we have an idea, preconceived idea of what reproduction is like, and that doesn't fit into it, and therefore we can't see the use. So then he took that same invention to Asia, and they immediately saw this is something wonderful, and they backed him and produced the photocopying industry. But it actually at first went to another country, see, because they had preconceived ideas of how a reproduction machine should work. They rejected it. Similarly, they do experiments where if you hold up cards, and if you hold up a, ace of spades, and you say, what colour is that? And people will say, it's black. Black spades on white card. If you hold up a ace of hearts, and you say, what colour is that? And they say, it is red hearts on a black, on a white card. The funny thing is, they're holding up an ace of hearts where the hearts are black. But because people have the idea in their head that an ace of hearts has red hearts, they're seeing that as black, as red. Black. As red, yeah. So, I was up till about 1 o'clock last night. So anyway, my brain's functioning to some degree. So you see what I mean, that the way we think is very restricted. And, you know, even on a material plane, therefore you could imagine when we come to spiritual topics, even if someone is fortunate to come to the point of understanding the Paramatma feature, to actually then go to the Bhagavan feature, one almost has to, you know, clean the slate. Because if you don't, it is not possible to actually understand that Bhagavan feature and the relationship between the spirit soul and the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his personal form as Bhagavan. So therefore we see in this chapter that you know, Krishna has said to Uddhava, you know, if you're starting from the beginning as the yogis do, you meditate on this way, you gradually come to the Paramatma feature of the Lord, like this, then meditating upon the sky, in other words, clear the slate, new page, now try to conceive of the Bhagavan feature. Like this. It's very, very difficult to do. But first one has to do that. You know, one still has to go through those different stages generally. You know, one first understands the you know, that the spirit soul as described here is the same in quality as you know, Brahman or spirit, that the spirit soul is aham brahmasmi. One first has to understand that. You know, even coming to the point of Paramatma realization is way, you know, beyond that. If you ask anyone in this world, you know, what are you? And they will say, you know, I am a man, you know, I am Indian, I'm Australian, you know, I am this, I am that, I'm a woman, you know, I'm a child. They will, you know, you go out in the streets and ask, you know, 100,000 people, and if you find one that says aham brahmasmi, you know, even amongst 10,000, 100,000, you won't find. So rare. You know, what to speak of Paramatma, Bhagavan realization, if they can, first they have to understand aham brahmasmi, I am Brahman. Then, as described here, the yogis, by meditating, going further, they come to realize the Paramatma, or the feature of the Supreme Lord, who is the superior form of Brahman, and that is likened here to the relationship between the sunshine and the sun rays. The the little particles of the sun ray, the sun planet and the sun rays. The little particles of the sunshine, they are tiny, whereas the sun planet itself is, you know, huge, you know, beyond our conception, you know, even in a material sense. There is a vast difference between the tiny little particle of sunshine and the huge sun. But the yogis, they actually realize this difference by through the yoga process, and they come to realize the potencies of the Supreme Lord Paramatma, who is sitting within the heart, that he is omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. Whereas the tiny little living entity, although one in quality, they're both of the nature of Brahman, they're both of the nature of eternal substance, eternal living conscious beings. But the difference is that because we as the living entities are so small, we can be covered by both Paramatma and the Jivatma are conscious and they have knowledge. But the consciousness of the Jivatma can be covered by ignorance because they're so tiny. Whereas the consciousness of the Paramatma has unlimited knowledge and therefore cannot be covered by ignorance. So that is the difference. Srila Prabhupada gives an example that, we see that small children, they make many mistakes constantly. They constantly do so many things which is, not proper or not correct because they have a little bit of knowledge. Whereas an adult, they generally know how to behave, in certain places and circumstances because their knowledge is of a greater value. They don't make the same mistakes. When children sit to eat, they knock over their drink. Usually if I'm sitting to eat with not only my child but any, if there's children anywhere, up to about the age of 5 or 6, I keep one eye on the drink. You can guarantee, and even you just watch that drink, the second you take your eyes off it, they'll kick it over. Right? Without a doubt. So, my eldest daughter, we used to, when she used to eat, we used to get one of those garbage bags and you cut the top out and we used to just put it over the top like that, so her little head was poking out and her arms would come out and her head. You wouldn't know this now because she's such a petite eater, she's just very tidy and what have you, but as a child completely different. And basically in a radius of about 1 metre there would be prasadam. There'd be prasadam in the hair, in the ears, just all down the top, everything. So, because their level of understanding how to eat is they make a lot of mistakes. Their level of knowledge is tiny. Whereas an adult, if you see an adult, actually sometimes you do, sometimes you see devotees. They're eating prasadam, they've still got, they've got prasadam, they're talking, you've got prasadam running down their mouth and, like this. But generally, most adults, they're quite, they're aware of the fact that even, a little grain of something on their cheek and, they'll brush it off, they know. So the level of knowledge and awareness is different. What to speak of, the level of knowledge of the supersoul. Generally we don't see the super soul, pictures of the super soul prasadam all over him. Although the strange thing is Krishna, who is Bhagavan and a higher feature, you will see him making a big mess with food. Krishna will actually sometimes get a little angry and smash the pot of yogurt and then scatter it everywhere and feed some to the monkeys, and between him and the monkeys they will get yogurt everywhere, and of course Mother Yashoda will come looking and she will see these little yogurt footprints leading away and she will understand that here Krishna is making a big mess with the food. So, because again, we see that this is difficult to understand. We have to clean the slate because the Bhagavan feature is the supreme feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the Paramatma feature is a subordinate feature. And yet, the Bhagavan feature appears to be displaying less awareness and less knowledge than the Paramatma feature. So, which is actually has to be explained, because the Bhagavan feature, of course, also has full knowledge. Bhagavan feature is the summit of all knowledge and awareness and consciousness. But in the Bhagavan feature, especially as Krishna, the opulences of the Lord, such as full knowledge, are covered by the sweetness of his pastimes. So generally, in the process of spiritual life, we gradually rise up to understand that we are not this body, and then we understand that we are spirit soul, and then we see that the Paramatma feature is also spirit soul, but of an unlimited variety, and that Paramatma feature is maintaining all other spirit souls, both in Paramatma feature, of course, is maintaining all spirit souls in the material world. So gradually then one rises to the understanding, one has to go beyond that aspect of transcendental knowledge and come to the point of bhakti or love or devotion in order to actually understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his personal form and his pastimes. So here it describes that seeing the, you know, the relationship between the spirit soul being one in quality with the Supreme Spirit, it different in quantity, that is done with the light of knowledge, the light of transcendental knowledge. But some things are actually only seen in the darkness. And some things are only appreciated more in the darkness. Just like this Srimad Bhagavatam, it describes it in the age of Kali, the Srimad Bhagavatam has appeared and it is the light for all the lost conditioned souls in this age of Kali. It's very interesting that the Srimad Bhagavatam appears just before, becomes very prominent, although Srimad Bhagavatam is eternal, but it becomes very prominent in Kali Yuga, even though its teachings are available in previous yugas. But in previous yugas, in the light of transcendental knowledge, the message of the Bhagavatam is a little lost, because they're blinded by the knowledge of self-realization and God-realization. Their appreciation of the message of the Srimad Bhagavatam is a little lost, you see. In Kali Yuga, there's no self-realization, there's no God-realization to distract or cause any preconceived ideas of God and the living entity, and therefore the living entities through the Srimad Bhagavatam are just given knowledge directly of Bhagavan. You see, Srila Prabhupada always described this as the one of the benefits of preaching in the West, that they were completely ignorant. You know, that if you say, if you say, here is a message of Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna is God, he is Bhagavan, like this, They'll say, oh, well, I don't know anything about God or self-realization or anything. Yes, so I'll accept that. So in the darkness of ignorance, that message of Srimad Bhagavatam is more easily accepted. Whereas if you go to all the yogis and the, you know, scholars of Vedanta, and you present Srimad Bhagavatam in the light of their transcendental knowledge, they cannot accept it. They find it very difficult to accept, to go beyond their preconceived ideas, to go that next step. They can't clear that slate. Similarly also, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda, they have appeared in the age of Kali. We understand that in the age of Kali, Krishna appears in his most magnanimous, most merciful, most friendly, original form as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Balaram has appeared as Lord Nityananda. Again, the friendship, the kindness of the Lord is really appreciated because of the backdrop of Kali Yuga. There's a saying that a friend in need is a friend indeed. We all have friends. But sometimes when our life just turns upside down and everything looks black, everything looks dismal, and we see no hope, we're completely destitute, we're depressed, we can't, there's nothing we can do, and we think everything is lost, there's no hope, I'm finished. And then if a friend comes to you in that condition and shows their friendship, then that friendship, you realise. And of course, amongst all the friends, you know, that one that really puts them out, themselves out, in those circumstances, you understand to be very, very special friend, to make, as I say, you know, certain places you test a friend. So in the backdrop of Kali Yuga, the age of quarrel, the age of ignorance, that glorious, you know, supreme friendship of the Lord becomes more beautiful, more appreciated. So some things actually are better appreciated in the darkness, just like in the sky, because now there is the sunshine. If you go to look at the stars, you cannot see them. You cannot see the stars, even though they're present. They're still there. But at night time, they appear very, you know, very bright. We can see them quite clearly. So here in Srimad Bhagavatam, as we read Srimad Bhagavatam, actually on every page, there is this beautiful message that the Supreme Lord, Bhagavan, he is coming to us, and he is showering us with his unconditional love, and generally we think of the living entities trying to, you know, go to the Supreme Lord, you know, if they're very advanced, they feel some separation from the Lord. In the pages of the Bhagavatam, it's revealed that actually the Supreme Lord, he is crying or feeling separation from the living entities and going to so much elaborate arrangements, personally coming and leaving his message, appearing in the form of the deities, appearing in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam, appearing in the form of the holy name, reaching out to literally his children, because all living entities are actually part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. They're actually related to the Supreme Lord, and he is the Supreme Father, and we are his children. So just as you see any parent, they naturally long for the association of their children, although the children may go here and there and sometimes don't care what the parents are doing. But the parents generally never, they're not like that. They're always thinking, yes, to have the child at home and to see them again, and they're always missing. So the Supreme Lord is like that. So it appears, in one sense, that Krishna is telling Uddhava, take up this yoga process, and there's a lot of emphasis on gathering transcendental knowledge. But actually, the message of the Bhagavatam is ultimately give up all these other processes and just, see how much I love you. And, you can love me in return. That is an eternal loving relationship that we have. And the process to revive that is not by karma yoga, jnana yoga, or astanga yoga, but by just by bhakti yoga. You just remember me. Remember our loving relationship. Remember our eternal relationship. If you want to remember, then the first process of bhakti, hear about. So we see that this very important basic principle of bhakti is first to hear. By hearing, we remember, yes, I have this eternal loving relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's when that loving relationship is there, there is no need of vast transcendental knowledge, even of Krishna's Paramatma feature, or there is so much different knowledge, even transcendental knowledge. Actually, all of that becomes a little irrelevant when a person comes to the point of pure love, loving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And on that platform, Krishna reciprocates purely on the basis of love. And the question that he is God and we are the living entity, that whole aspect is completely irrelevant. In the spiritual world, that loving relationship, if you're Krishna's friend, then there's no question that because you're God and I'm the tiny living entity, I'm your friend, but I'll be very careful, try not to hurt you. If we're wrestling, I'll let you win. If we're going to eat something, I'll let you have the first bite. The problem is that sort of friendship cripples the friendship. When there's knowledge that you are God and I'm not, we have to learn that, but once learning that, we have to unlearn it in order to love God. And Krishna wants us ultimately to come to the point of love, and then you can forget that. You can't forget it before then, but if the love is there, then you can forget that. Then Krishna says, you try your hardest to beat me. And Krishna actually enjoys, letting his friends beat him. And, sometimes they will take his lunch and then, they'll throw it to another boy and Krishna has to run and chase it. And then, you know, they may eat that. Krishna may not get it. In so many different ways, that when there's that complete freedom to interact on that platform of love. So, this is actually the message of the Bhagavatam. Sometimes we can get a little, you know, lost in the transcendental knowledge. We have to get that transcendental knowledge to be so convinced that we are a spirit soul, we have nothing to do in this material world. We have to get that, and our only activities and our only focus is Krishna. So we have to get that knowledge first. But coming to that point of knowledge, then we have to just focus on that loving relationship with Krishna. And that's, you know, of course, to appreciate that loving aspect of Krishna, you need to associate with pure devotees who are on that level. We have the fortune, of course, that we had the example of Srila Prabhupada, and of course so many acharyas and so many wonderful devotees, you know, even in the present time. Just like sometimes Srila Prabhupada, if he was speaking to an audience who really very, very beginning, you know, he would speak so much transcendental knowledge and try to just make them understand that you are part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And sometimes you see that when Srila Prabhupada was with just his devotees, temple devotees, who were just fully immersed in the Sankirtan movement, then Lord Krishna would reveal through Prabhupada a whole different aspect. And therefore sometimes Srila Prabhupada would just try to speak, and within 1 or 2 minutes he'd get in and he would just tears be, you know, he'd just unable to speak. He would just say, you know, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so merciful. And that was about as far as he could get in tears. And then, but that manifestation of love for the devotees, it was surpassed, you know, interest in Paramatma and this and that. That says everything. That 2-minute lecture to see, to perceive someone who actually loves the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that says volumes more to them. The realization they will get from that is so far beyond, you know, what others will get in their hours and hours of lectures, you know, transcendental knowledge. So this Krishna consciousness movement, of course, certainly, you know, as quick as possible, the devotee should fix himself up in that consciousness. Yes, I am part and parcel of Krishna. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is there. And this Bhagavan feature allows us to actually enter into an intimate personal relationship. So then, immediately take that opportunity. Don't, you know, dilly-dally for millions of lifetimes, just, you know, even on the platform of, you know, is there a God, you know, am I this body, I'm not this body, you know. Okay, all right, I'm a spirit soul, Krishna's God, but will I surrender? You know, maybe I'll surrender a little bit, will I surrender fully? You know, that sort of thing can go on for millions of years, and certainly one is making progress. But don't miss that real nectar. Go a little bit beyond that and taste that loving relationship with Bhagavan, which is very, very confidential and is available. Get to that point as quickly as possible and get the real essence of the Bhagavatam. So, does anyone have any quick questions? I think we've got about 30 seconds or comments. I've gone 10 minutes over because the kirtan went 10 minutes over. That's my excuse. Any quick questions or comments? All right. All right, so we'll leave it there. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.